worship our Lord. If you are a member or a regular attender, there are cards that still need to be picked up. I saw them today because I just dropped off ours today. Okay, so hey, at Lifeway, people were buying cards today, like this afternoon. Nothing like wait till the last minute. But there are cards. In fact, there are a lot of cards out there still in the boxes. So if you're a member or a regular attender, make sure you look in the boxes before you go. We're going to do what we usually do on a Sunday. We're going to sing. I'm going to preach a little bit. But then we're going to close our service with the Lord's Supper at the end. And then at the very, very end, we'll do Silent Night with candles. So hopefully everybody got a candle on the way in. If you didn't, Brother Dick Peace can assist you with that. And we're going to do our best not to burn this church down. Okay? So let me pray for us, then Matt will lead us in some Christmas carols. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we love you. Thank you for this evening where we can come and be with our church family. We all have biological families, but Lord, it's such an awesome truth to remember that our church family, our spiritual family, transcends all of those boundaries and will last for eternity. So it's just good tonight, Lord, to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to be with your people. I pray that you would bless this time, make it a time where we remember you and think about you and worship you in spirit and truth. We're not here just to be religious, Father. I pray that you would turn our hearts and turn our minds, our thoughts to you and to your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would bless this time of worship. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And a reminder, in 2 days, the Christmas cards go on half price, so my cards will be in there next Sunday. Okay. Amen. Let us stand and praise our Lord. We're going to sing hymn number 89, O Come All Ye Faithful. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation. O sing, all ye bright host of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. O come, O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. O little town of Bethlehem, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel. Micah 5:2 is where the inspiration for this little jewel is. Little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above the deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, thy angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his head. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, oh, come to us, abide. Excuse me, still the ear, the cries enters in. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. The next song is the First Noel, hymn 85. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. That was so deep. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. For all to see, there was a star shining in the east, beyond them far, and to the earth it gave great light, and so continued both day and night. King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, the wise men came from country far to seek for a king. Was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord, who hath made heaven and earth of naught, and with his blood mankind hath bought. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. You may be seated. I'm going to sing a little ditty. Not the ditty you think I'm going to sing. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise His name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. Amen. Come on up here, Pastor. I will let you pray us in.
Let's pray together after that. The best things we can do is pray. Father, we do fall on our knees. I hope that people in this room, in their hearts and minds, are falling on their knees before a holy God who is perfect in every way, who created this universe, who spoke everything we see into existence. Lord, I pray that we would fall on our knees before you because of who you are and because of what you have done by sending your holy and perfect and pure Son, Jesus Christ. We are here tonight to think about Him and to remember His birth and to remember why He came. It was a holy night. You're a holy God, and we're an unholy people. So help us, Lord, as we think about your word for these few moments, help us to remember who you are and have a more accurate view of ourselves, and then to rejoice in your grace and your mercy towards us. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Back in 2012, Susie told me that she was pregnant with Elisha. My first feeling was sheer terror. I remember thinking, oh no, this can't be happening right now. I'm not ready for this. I was sick as a dog that week when she told me. I'd had a virus for a few days that had kept me on the couch, just sick as a dog. But on a Friday night, she came home and she said, we're going out tonight. And usually that's like a great idea. I'm all for that. She wanted to go to Outback, which is also usually a no-brainer for me, but I didn't want to go anywhere with anyone on that particular evening. So we went to Outback. Sometime in between my salad and my steak, I was still complaining about not wanting to be there and being a poor sport. Susie told me that she had a reason for bringing me out that night, for insisting that we go out. And then she handed me a Father's Day card. And after the initial feeling of just, catching my breath, sheer terror kind of covered my mind, my heart was racing. But then after that, I was just overjoyed and I shed tears of joy. And despite all of the sickness I felt and the guilt I felt for complaining to my now pregnant wife about going out with her, I was just full of joy and thankfulness and worship. And then like any self-respecting man, I pretended like I wasn't crying and got up and gave Susie a big hug. And it was a special night. After I found out we were pregnant, though, I was consumed with thoughts about this child that we would have. I was consumed with a series of questions. Would it be a boy or a girl? Will they be healthy? What will they be like? What will their personality be like? What will they grow up to be? Will they love Jesus? I was thinking about all of these things, and I think it's because when a child is born, most of us begin thinking these types of things because that child has its entire life in front of it. And so our first baby, when Susie told me we were pregnant with this baby, I just began thinking about all these possible scenarios and all these possibilities about our child. All the what ifs, just flooded my mind. And we're usually consumed with thoughts like that because a child, a baby, represents it's the epitome of life. Now we all know that death is an inevitable result of living in a fallen world. It'll eventually come for all of us. We don't need to be naive about that. But when a child is born, we begin to think and dream and talk about what that child will be and what that child's life will look like. We don't think about or talk about that child's death. We talk about their life. However, there was one child whose death was in view the moment he was born. This evening, we reflect on the birth of Jesus. I want to remind us that Jesus was born to die. He was born to die. Even before he was born, as we'll see tonight, his death was on the horizon. The truth that I'm referring to is alluded to in Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to read a few verses for us tonight. Matthew chapter 1. You can follow along if you like. You don't feel like you have to. But Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25 say this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a just man, was unwilling to put her to shame and resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet 700 years prior. Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So the angel of the Lord shows up to Joseph in a dream, says that his fiancée Mary is carrying a child that's been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that he should name this child Jesus. The angel could have very easily just said, you shall call his name Jesus, and left it at that. But as you noticed back in verse 21, there was more information given that we'll get to in a moment. So if the angel would have said, you shall call his name Jesus, Joseph, being a good Jewish man, might have been confused on what was up with this baby. You see, the word Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua or Joshua literally means deliverance or salvation. So there's a possibility that if the angel would have just said he'll be named Jesus, that Joshua would have immediately sprung to Joseph's mind, and Joseph might have had all these preconceived ideas about this baby and how he would be like Joshua. Now, in the Old Testament, Joshua is the guy who follows Moses, is the leader of Israel. He's the one who leads the people of Israel into the Promised Land. He's the one who leads the people of Israel against all of their enemies. He delivered the people of Israel from a wilderness of death. They'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, in Texas, we don't like being outside for 40 minutes. They were in the desert for 40 years, and Joshua was the man who took them home, took them to the promised land. He delivered the people of Israel. In many ways, Jesus Christ came to do that exact same thing. Jesus did come to lead his people from death to life, from fear to peace, from aimless wandering to purpose and security. Jesus came to do those types of things, no doubt. But if the angel would have simply said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, then Joseph might have been led to believe that this son that Mary was carrying was going to be the next great political leader or military commander of the people of Israel. But that's not what God was up to. That's not why the Father sent the Son. Jesus will come one day as a warrior. He will come back and he will defeat his enemies. He will defeat and destroy all of those who've rebelled against him and disobeyed his gospel. But the first time he came as a servant. That's why the angel quickly qualifies what the angel says in verse 21. Verse 21 again says, "You'll bear a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The word "for" is a simple word. It just means there's about to be more information given. So the verse could go like this. "You shall call his name Jesus because this Jesus, this boy, will save his people from their sins." That's why you're going to name him Jesus, because he's going to do this sin removal, this saving work. That's why you're going to call him Jesus. Now notice, though, that the angel didn't say anything about Jesus dying. Not mentioned. He just says that Jesus will save his people from their sins. So what's the connection between Jesus saving his people from their sins and Jesus dying? Why must Jesus die in order to save his people? The answer to this question is rooted in the character of God. The Bible is full of verses and illustrations of the character of God. And tonight I hope you came in here willing to think about what the Bible says about God. And because oftentimes we have our preconceived ideas about God, we want to make God in our image. We want to make Him more like us, do we not? We want Him to be less holy than He is. But the Bible makes it absolutely clear that God is perfect in all of His attributes. There's no impurity in God. There's no selfishness, no pride, no lust, no lying, no sin whatsoever. Completely pure. Just think. Complete purity. Complete perfection. That's our God. And out of the overflow of His perfections, He creates man and woman in His own image, and He tells them that you can't eat from this one tree. He says you can have paradise, but this one tree, just don't eat of it. Back in Genesis 2, He says if you do, you will surely die. But man and woman rebelled against the Word of God, and they decided to do things their own way, and they ate of that tree, bringing sin and death into the world. Thankfully, the story doesn't stop there. God, in His mercy, didn't strike them dead immediately. He had every right to kill them immediately, but He didn't. In His mercy, He allowed the human race to populate the earth, and we're here tonight because of that mercy. But God is, because He's holy and pure and perfect in every way, He can't just simply overlook that rebellion. Even though that first couple and us as well are made in His image, He doesn't just overlook our rebellion. He doesn't just kind of sweep it under the rug because God is love. Yes, God is love. We're going to get to that part in a moment. But because He's also perfect in every way, He can't just dismiss or ignore rebellion and sin and disobedience and our pride and our lust and our selfishness and our materialism. And the short temper I had today when the lady ran out in front of me because she was probably late for something. Right? People forget how to drive this time of year. I have no idea why. But all this stuff that's in our life, in my life, that is not pleasing to our God, He can't just like look at that and shove it aside and not deal with it. He's absolutely perfect. And so if He's going to be true to Himself, He has to deal with rebellion. He has to deal with it. He has to do something about it. Sin always leads to death. It always will, never won't. And so at Christmas and every other season of the year, really the question for us to grapple with is, how do we get right with this just and holy God? That's the question for us tonight. Not what are we having for dinner. I'm looking forward to that. Not what am I getting in the morning or tonight, but what must we do to be made right with this holy and perfect God who created us? Later on in the Old Testament, we learn that something has to die in order for sins to be forgiven. The Bible says that it's the blood of an animal that makes atonement or makes forgiveness for people's sins, because the life of an animal is in its blood. Now, if you'll just fast forward all the way to Christmas, to this passage we read in Matthew 1. Why did the Father send the Son? Why did the Holy Spirit conceive this boy in Mary? Why did that happen? Why did Jesus come? Why did God become a man? God became a man to offer Himself as the sacrifice necessary to save us from our sins. A man can't save us. Only God can. And you can't save you. You can't save you. You can't. Your religion and your good deeds, your morality, it's going to be frightening on the day when we stand before our God and we bring this nonsense about, look at all the good things I've done, and all He has to do is point out one time we rebelled against Him. And say, well, what about that? And the reality is, for us, it's really like a 10 million thing, right? Like 10 million times we rebelled against Him. That has to be taken care of. So it really is nonsensical to say, well, I'm just a good person. And again, the question is, good compared to what? Good compared to who? Stop comparing yourself to your neighbor and your sisters and your brothers and your parents. Goodness is defined by God. Right? And we all fall short. We fall dramatically short. So we can't save us. God has to save us. God had to come to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. But because God can't die, He would have to become a man so that He could. So God Himself put on human flesh. It's a mysterious but an awesome truth if you'll just think about it for a minute. God Himself put on human flesh in order to die for the sins of His people. Jesus was born in order to die for sinners. Christmas is about the cross. Tonight is about next Easter, guys. When we think about the cross, when we think about the glorious resurrection of our Lord. Jesus is the next Joshua who leads His people to a good land. He's defeated the enemies of His people. He's led His people into life and joy and peace. But the means by which He did this came as a surprise to everyone. He did it by dying. Not by fighting, not by political intervention, not by being a good person. He did it by dying. Now quickly, one more thing to notice about this verse. Verse 21. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. It says that Jesus will save His people from their sins. So Jesus came, Jesus died for His people. There's an idea that's rampant in our culture and even in our churches that because Jesus died, all of us now get to go to heaven. And heaven is for real, by the way. Heaven is for real. But heaven is a place for people who know Jesus. Not just people who are religious or better than their in-laws. Heaven is a place for people who have trusted Christ, period. Jesus came to die for His people. His death doesn't mean that everyone gets a ticket into heaven now. He was sent by the Father to purchase, through His death, a people for Himself. Listen to Titus 2, 3, 13 through 14. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave Himself for us. Why? To purify for Himself a people for His own possession. Jesus died to purchase His bride. He didn't die in like an ambiguous, abstract way just to show that He was a nice guy. He died to accomplish the salvation of His bride. To literally redeem her from death. He didn't die just to give her a chance. He died to save her. At Christmas, you parents and grandparents aren't going to give your children and grandchildren the possibility of gifts, are you? You're going to give them gifts that have already been purchased. Maybe on credit, but they've already been purchased, right? You're not going to give them like a possibility. You're going to give them a real gift. In the same way, God sent His Son to purchase a people, to save His people, not just to give them a chance, Now this salvation, this forgiveness of sins, this redemption, this life, man, this grace, this hope, this peace is available to everyone who repents of their sins and trusts Christ. It's available to everyone. The offer extends to the ends of the earth and to the every heart in this room. If you'll trust Christ and turn from your sin, you will be saved. Jesus was born to die, but His death only benefits those who trust Him and submit their lives to Him. Now tonight, if you're a follower of Christ, I want you to be reminded that God sent His one and only Son to die for you. For you. I mean, just think. God died, sent His Son to die for you. For you in particular. Not that version of you that you'd really like to be one day, but He died for you. He died for you in particular. He didn't die for the nice people, the righteous people, the religious people, the people who go to church on Christmas Eve. He died for you, His people, those who trust Him. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, I just urge you to talk with those you came with, to talk with me afterwards, to talk with someone here sitting next to you about this gospel, about this God, about this Christ. The invitation is open. Christ died for His people, and His people are the ones who trust Him and not themselves. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper together. I'm excited about this. First time we've done this since I've been your pastor. We're going to observe the Lord's Supper together as a family. He told us, Jesus told us to observe the supper to help us remember what He did to save us. So we're going to close by doing that tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for Matthew 1:21. You shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Father, thank You for sending Your Son. And I pray if there's anyone here who hasn't received Him, I pray that You would work on their hearts and minds and give them grace and faith to respond. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. First Corinthians 11:27-28 says this: whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself and then eat the bread and drink of the cup. So quickly, verse 27 says we should do this. We should take the supper in a worthy manner. We should do this in a worthy manner. And I think at a fundamental level, that means that this supper is reserved for those who have trusted Christ. The supper is reserved for followers of Christ. It's reserved for those who are part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're a believer in Christ, you're welcome to take part in the supper with us. If you're a member at another church, or maybe not even a member of a church, you're welcome. If you've been born again by faith in Christ, you're welcome to take the supper with us. If you're not, though, let me just ask you, please, just kindly, we're so glad that you're here. If you're not a believer, so glad that you're here. Happy that you're here. Okay, you could be doing a lot of things on Christmas Eve, but you're here. And there's no coincidence about that. But we're just going to ask that when the elements are passed down the road, just pass them on. No one's going to think twice about it. All right, if you're not a believer in Christ, please just pass the elements down the row. And then secondly, verse 28 says we should examine ourselves. What does that mean? Well, I think it means we should just examine ourselves. Just for a minute, and literally, we're just going to take 1 minute to think about our lives, to think about what's gone on today, and this week, and this month, maybe this year. You know, just to think about, Lord, am I right with You? What sin in my life do I need to confess to You that I've just been holding on to? My pride, my stubbornness, my fear, my anxiety, whatever. Just confess that to the Lord, and remember these elements represent the forgiveness You've already received. So let's just spend 60 seconds in silent prayer, then I'll close us in prayer and we'll take the elements. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his broken body, his shed blood. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We confess that we're not as good as we think we are. But we also rejoice in that in Christ we have been made new. We have hope. We have joy. We have a peace that the world doesn't understand. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. I'll ask our ushers to come forward at this time. They're going to pass out both of the elements, the bread and the juice. I'll just ask that you hold on to the elements until we have all received the elements, and then we'll take them together at the same time. Okay, guys?